panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.3CR 855am, 3CR digital, 3cr.org.au and 3CR on demand. It's Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the intersection of the contested lands of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. And we pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning into the program today. And we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronoun she and her. And Out of the Pan is a show covering pansexual issues, as I like to say, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. And we opened up the show today with Big Pig and Breakaway, because there's lots of breaking fabulous artists in Fringe Festival. I've got two more of them today at around 12:30. I'll be catching up with Courtney Maldo, and I'll introduce our first guest in just a second. But if you want to get in touch with the show, there's lots of ways to do it. There's lots of things to do, and one of the things that I always need to do is thank the crew from Out of the Blue, diving deep for the marine news as they do every Sunday morning, 11:30 till noon. And covering shipwrecks this morning. I've been called a shipwreck or something like that in my time. Anyway, how to get in touch with this show? You can email outofthepan855@gmail.com, SMS 61456751215. I will be accepting your call. And you can Twitter Mastodon, Blue Sky, Instagram at Sal Gold Said So, and that's the bottom line. And look for posts on Facebook, my page Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan 3CR 855 AM Melbourne. Postal address PO Box 1277 Collingwood 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. Don't see any needs in advance for content notes today, but if they come up, I will mention them. Well, time to introduce first fabulous guest today, and this particular Fringe show has me highly fascinated, and I'm very eager to talk to the guest I have on the line, Charlie Wan. Charlie, welcome to 3CR.
Hello, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the warm welcome.
You are very, very welcome, and if I can ask two questions, first and foremost, which Aboriginal lands you are on at this time?
I currently am on, I'm actually not sure. Do you know what? I'm going to be completely honest and say I'm not actually sure of the exact lands that I'm on, but I'm calling today from the land of the Wurundjeri people. But this very specific land, I'm going to find out before the end of this interview so I can be correct.
All right, then, multitasking. And if it's okay to ask, which pronouns you use, if any?
Of course. I actually use all pronouns when they use with love and respect. Generally speaking, most people use they, them with me, but I'm very, very comfortable with anything that rolls off the tongue.
All right, then. So, yes, I think that's a good way to look at, to get into this conversation because, you're sort of welcome to things with love and respect, a range of things. And I was just absolutely happily struck, if I can put it that way, by the range of genres that you cover in your performance. I think that's a great place to start. Your chameleon-like ability to embody a character using dance, burlesque, drag, stand-up, clowning, poetry, and storytelling. An old-world entertainer wrapped in a deliciously progressive package. I think there's plenty to talk about there. Tell us all about it, Charlie.
actually, I've got to tell you, I wasn't with the Melbourne Fringe, radio interviews that we're given. We are sort of given a list, and I wasn't exactly sure of the exact context of the show. And hearing your introduction, wow, it's just the place I'm meant to be, I think.
Aww.
What a out of the pan, how cool, how brilliant. Yes, there is so much to talk about. So, myself as a performer, I am a proudly kaleidoscopic rainbow of identity, of intersectional identity, and I am proudly British Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
I'm originally from East London, but I grew up in South London, and I came over to Australia about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
My collaborator on this show is someone called Dian Tai, who is Malaysian Chinese, and we are both queer, gender fluid Asian performers who... We were literally talking about this yesterday, actually, over rehearsal, post-rehearsal bowl of ramen. We were chatting about the fact that we are both so broad in our arts practice. Dian is such an incredible musician, producer, but they also produce shows. So they produce music, they produce shows, they're a songwriter, they do drag, they do emceeing. They're just absolutely incredible. And me, myself, I am... I've been performing professionally since I was about 15. I started off, can you believe, doing Shakespeare and red-nosed clowning.
Well, no, I can believe that. I mean, Shakespeare, yeah. And you're from, jolly old England. That seems reasonable.
Yeah, I am. And so I went from that, I found my way into the world of dance, and then I actually got scooped up into burlesque. And from there sort of really like grew as a MC, host, performer. And then probably about 10 years ago, longer than that now. Oh goodness, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
How fast is time travelling?
Yep.
I started doing drag. So I was a drag king. Yep. I'm a drag king. And then actually more so than ever now, which is so on brand for this show, I feel like, I've actually stopped labelling myself as a drag performer. And I'm an entertainer. I'm an entertainer. And I made a decision actually at the start of this year to stop putting on drag makeup when I'm doing my performances celebrating the divinity of masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just this eclectic mix of boundaryless art. Maybe we can use that as a question trampoline.
Well, yes, I should have warned you guys before, while we're off air. I've been known to do puns. Boundaryless art, let's trampoline and bounce our way into those boundaryless art.
Into it.
Yeah.
Into it. Puns are great.
Puns are good. Let's expand on that because, I mean, it's just such an... it is an intriguing mix and, you know, boxes, schnoxes and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been... Tell us about the journey, I suppose, to get to where you are now in terms of that, do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? Where do I fit? And then you said, well, no, sod it. I'll fit for myself.
Exactly. And do you know what, like, sort of just to loop it back into the show that we're doing today.
Yeah.
So the show that we're doing today, actually, we're performing it today in Fed Square. We're braving the crowds from the marathon and also the protest that's happening today. And we are performing in Fed Square. And we chose the story of Mulan. So Mulan, Fa Mulan, or in Cantonese is Fa Mulan. Is a story that many people know and love, and it's been told a thousand different ways for over a thousand years.
Yeah.
The reason we chose that is because it resonates with both of us so well. So from a personal perspective, I started off... Actually, take it right back. I've always been a bit strange in every sort of circle I've stepped into, whether it be the arts, whether it be, you know, your civvies, where it is, I have always, felt quite unusual and unique. And what I did for a very long time, personally and within my career, and I'm not sure if anyone else can sort of resonate with this, particularly as maybe queer people or people who live outside the gender binary even, you spend so much time being told these are the ways in which you do things. And that actually extends to art practice as well. So oftentimes there are people in the world who have very strong concepts about this is what drag is. So drag is what makes something drag is this. What makes something burlesque is this. So for burlesque and drag, a good example of that is sparkly costumes, rhinestones, heavy makeup, theatrical makeup, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
This is a particular music that we use, this is a particular dance movement that we use, this is a particular styles and aesthetic that should be appropriate for these styles. Now, whilst it is really important to always pay homage to the roots of a practice, an arts practice, it's incredibly important to understand the history. And it is also important to understand that if there are technical aspects of something which keep it true to the art form, I think it's really important to really respect those and, honour those. At the same time as well, when you are an artist, I have personally found that those things can limit your creativity and ability to tell a story. And something I learned a little while ago now, but I've only really been putting deeply into practice in the last sort of 5 years, is, you know what? Says who? So if I am stepping into a drag competition, for example, which is about a specific drag style, then of course I'll, you know, toe the line. But if I'm just putting up my own art, who's to tell me how to do that?
Absolutely.
Tell me, yeah, exactly. And why are we taught that certain things are the way that you express gender, the way that you express what it is to be part of the binary, what it is to be, for example, you're either gay or you're straight. Okay, well, no, as we know, no, that's not the case at all, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. So what I started doing is I started to explore, and I think I realised that what it comes down to is less so confidence in sticking to an art form, and more so confidence in being able to say, and that's what I put my focus into, confidence to say, no, no, I am who I am, and society is never going to know me better than I'm not going to know myself. And so what I did is started putting a lot of work into and focus into really standing on business and saying it with my chest, who I am and what I am. And from there, that's how my sort of eclectic mix of art and expression came about. Honestly, it's going quite well for me, to be honest.
Well, absolutely. I mean, first of all, I'm honestly going to say congratulations on finding yourself, because, you know, we, and I deliberately will use an inclusive plural pronoun, we being myself and others, we get lost in worlds that we're put into that perhaps we don't fit, said, well, this assigned male person for starters, but other things like trying to be a corporate accountant. I'm sure I'll find humour in that one day and do a stand-up show about it.
Yeah.
But the fact that you are just... I'm going to say, boldly was the first word that came to mind. I'm going to say calmly and assertively, just saying, hey, I'm going to be Charlie and I'm going to talk about this. And this wonderful story of Mulan is, I think, wow. I mean, how much authentic intersectionality. It is genuinely uplifting for, at this end of the radio waves. Yeah.
I'm so, so glad. I think as well, the reason we chose Mulan is, I know for me, Mulan, she was the first representation I saw of something akin to non-binary.
Aha.
And trans. And for me personally, as a gender fluid person who does, I feel like I do sit under the trans mask umbrella, is that I remember looking at her and going, and I use her because that's what she is. I remember looking at Mulan and going, I get it. I get it. I remember being about, you know, I can't remember when the movie came out, but I think I was about 6. And I remember going, oh my goodness, it makes sense to me because I'm not this perfect daughter and I'm not this perfect girl. And it wasn't until later in my life, but I started to understand that, you know, it was so much for me about my people's expectations on me and what felt right. And I always talk about the... I have a giggle with, you know, the story of Mulan, or like the Disney version especially, how she cuts her hair and ties it up in a bun, and then suddenly everyone goes, wow, that would be much easier for the gender diverse people if that's all it took, right? But to suddenly just pass within the Chinese Imperial Army, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the first time I got my head shaved, and so I've got a undercut that goes right up my head. And so actually, interestingly, when I've got my hair down, it's really, really long. It's almost halfway to my waist. And when I put my hair up, it changes my look entirely. And I always have a little bit of a giggle because it does make me feel a lot like Mulan, right?
Mm-hmm.
which is fitting because that is who I play in the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, looking at the photos on the Fringe website for the show, I mean, it is an... The whole look is sort of intriguing and amazing. The hair, the makeup, your tattoos, everything are just, well, yeah, there's an incredible sense of, again, more authenticity in there, which is so very, very awesome. Yeah. And, you know, just, again, honouring, you know, the sort of the Legend of Mulan, which, you know, I would certainly urge people to go. I'd urge people to go look at the find information about the original story rather than just the Disney film, just to make sure you've got the right thing.
And what's pretty beautiful about it is that, so the first time Mulan was mentioned was in the, are you happy for me to do a nerdy history thing?
please do, yes. I was going to actually telepathize there because I was going to ask you to do it.
Brilliant. Okay, perfect. So the first time that Mulan was mentioned was in the Ballad of Mulan, and that was in the 6th century AD. So the 6th century AD, so that was over, a set, you know, what is it, 1,400 years ago, 1,400 years ago, even more than that. And so they are still unsure to this day whether Mulan was just a legend or was actually based in real on real people in the army. What's really interesting is that there is genuine truth and there are genuine historical figures who are AFAB humans and they're women who actually, or women, I should say, who became great leaders within the Chinese army against all gender construct. So that is that. What we do know is that is real. So, for example, Wu Zetan was a female general and rose through the ranks and became a fearsome warrior. And throughout history, we know within Chinese military history, there were incredible AFAB and female leaders. Now, what's really interesting as well is understanding that while we don't know whether it's a legend or based on a historical person, the story of Mulan has been told so many different ways. And there are actually different versions of the legend that different people follow. We have picked the most simplified version. And what we have done is actually drawn key elements that we know exist throughout every version of the story. And the core values are that we are putting out there is that the reason that Mulan went to war was because the emperor was, doing a conscription of people to fight invaders of China. Depending on which story you look at, it's a different invader. But fundamentally, her elderly father was called to war. And she was the eldest daughter. Her brother was too young. In some of the legends, she doesn't have a brother. And long story short, there was no one to fight in her family for the Fa family or the Hua family apart from her father. And so that is what led her to take his place. And what we felt so inspired by that was the fact that sometimes it is doing something for someone else that calls you to listen to what your heart is telling you, even if, you know, society is telling you it's wrong. And we loved the bravery of that. We loved the fact that, you know, she chose to do what she had to do, right? We also thought it was really cool because we love that in a lot of the legends, not only does Mulan survive, so contextually speaking, the role of women in ancient China was to serve kinship roles, to be a wife, to be a daughter. So to be a daughter, to be a wife, to be a mother. And it was actually roles of subservience. So you grow up and you are obedient to your father.
Yeah.
You then become obedient to your husband. You then become eventually obedient to your son when your husband dies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was literally the role of women in ancient China. Oh, how conservative traditional roles have changed, huh?
Yeah, what? You mean we've got no more patriarchy? Oh, sorry, I just slipped in a puddle of my own sarcasm. But anyway.
Yeah, it's gone. It's completely... How weird. That sounds so far-fetched and alien to these times, they said sarcastically.
Yeah.
But what we were so enthralled by is Mulan not only managed to survive in disguise, she thrived. So she went into the army and not only did she actually just, you know, survive the battles, her expert martial arts and her ability to lead gained her respect and she in her own right, evaded discovery for over a decade in the army. And generally speaking, across all legends, that's what happens. And some of the legends, which is, we didn't actually choose these ones, but some of the legends, one of my favourite ones is that she is actually met by another woman general who discovers her secret and they become sisters in arms. We wish that we had the production budget to put that one on. But we've chosen the basic of the story, which is that she thrived in the army. And then when she was at the end of her service, she was asked by the emperor, you can take anything you want. You can have any high-ranking role within government that you like. And the only thing that Mulan asked for was a fast horse to get her home to her family. And we just think it was absolutely beautiful. So we have really simplified the, you know, it's a kids' show, really. Today is a kids' show. And it's about, you know, understanding that the call to honour your family, but also not to forget to honour yourself, is really, really important to us. Thanks for listening to my nerd spiel.
I loved it. I honestly sat here just drinking it in. It's just wonderful. And I think the thing that comes out of it, you know, the other part where I'm going to just slip in my own sarcasm is people saying, oh, this transgender thing, it's very new. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And although obviously I've got an Anglo-Saxon Western perspective, you know, and people say, oh, it's an imported, this is Western culture thing, all this queer stuff. Yeah, right. Okay. It just blows the nonsense out of the water. So it's a sense of advocacy as well, which, gives us an extra, sort of strawberry in the champagne. Which is wonderful.
It really, really does. It really does. So, yeah, we're performing today.
Indeed.
In Fred Square. We've got performances at 3, 4 and 5 o'clock. It is outside, so it is just worth taking into consideration that it is an outdoor show. The show is 20 minutes long. We will be performing in Fred Square at 3 till 3.20, 4 till 4.20 and 5 till 5.20. But it's a free show, so we'd love for people to get down if they can. And, enjoy us. In the words of Diane is playing the narrator in the show. It's all completely original composed music by Diane, but there are a couple of familiar remixes in there of certain very famous Mulan songs from the Disney special. But in the words of Diane, it is an ancient story through the gaze of the gaze.
Brilliant. I think that's a wonderful way to finish the conversation, Charlie. I feel warmed and uplifted. It's why I love doing this show and just hearing all these stories and creations. I have 3 great shows this afternoon, to use the Australian good luck in show business saying. Chookers, there we go, some Australian culture for you.
I really appreciate it.
And,
fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. It was so lovely.
If I can get enough caffeine into me, I might get down there and see one of them myself and come and say hello.
We'd absolutely love that. Thank you so much. Have the most beautiful rest of your day.
I shall. You have 3 great shows this afternoon and safe travels everywhere as well, Charlie.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Charlie Wan talking about Power Move, Mulan's Tea Party. That is just, wow. I can say I learnt something today. There you go. All right. Better just get some musics going as part of the pan-genre type of stuff that we do. Get some music rolling and random CD stacker time. Let's see what we've got with this particular track. It's Eric Johnson and Cliffs of Dover. Some guitar instrumental. 3CR 855 AM, 3CR digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand. Out of the Pan with Sally. Thank you.
Japan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
Trans Family is a not-for-profit organization providing a peer support group for loved ones, including parents, siblings, extended family, and friends of a trans and gender diverse person. Trans Family runs discussion groups in person and online. We offer a safe space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your situation, and provide peer support. We are especially keen to hear from loved ones in regional and rural Victoria. Donations to Trans Family are tax deductible. For more information, visit transfamily.org.au or look for us on Facebook. Trans Family is a 3CR supporter.
We are family. Get up, everybody, sing. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital. 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. We just heard Musically from Eric Johnson and the Cliffs of Dover. And that was telepathically programmed from our previous guest from the UK. And thanks, of course, to our program sponsor, Go Kindly, take their pillow quiz. And Transfamily is on next Saturday. Contact support at transfamily.org.au for more information if you're a loved one, including family member, of trans people who wants to go. Well, trans people are everywhere. They're in Fringe. They're in comedy. They do all sorts of things. And one of them is now sitting, said people, is sitting right across from me in the 3CR studios. Courtney Maldo, welcome to Out of the Pan.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for having me.
And if it's okay to ask, may I just check in with which pronouns you use, if any?
Oh, a bit of she, her in the streets, bit of she, they in the sheets.
We're off to a good start. And I've got the perfect track for after the interview. Which,
splendid.
I'm going to tease you with that. So gender, drugs and rock and roll. What on earth, dare I say, made you come up with a title like that for a show in Melbourne Fringe from the 15th to the 19th of October?
Oh, I mean, I just think it sounds quite good, you know? I'm a big fan of Ian Dury and the Blockheads and sex, drugs and rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought at this point, you know, sex is pretty passé, you know? Let's move on to gender. Let's deconstruct some of that.
Yep. Well, let's do it. How do you go about tackling that in your show, which is at the Music Room at Trades Hall?
Yeah, I mean, I started trying to kind of anthropomorphize my experience with kind of hormones and HRT and kind of put it in the idea of gender drugs and realized that it's not just a trans experience, you know. It's like gender drugs are any drugs that affirm your gender, whether that be hormones or a good cup of coffee or a good pill in the club.
Yeah, which, well, Melbourne can do reasonably well. But
so I've heard.
So you've heard, because you're from over in from the west.
Yeah, I'm out in WA. Yeah,
dare I say, the crown jewel of Australia.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
This is my brutality. there we go. We got the wrestling references in first at 12:37 and around 20 seconds.
That's pretty good. Running
show in joke for this program. How on earth? What on earth made someone think I'm going to try stand up, which you did or started to do around 5 years ago?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always, you know, like to think I'm, you know, quite a funny bitch, and I was dabbling around in theatre, doing a lot of Shakespeare, really identifying with kind of the sassy peasant roles that are in all of the Shakespeare plays. And realized I was like, actually, I don't know if drama's really scratching the itch. I'm quite liking making the crowd pop. So I started mucking around with it. And then, We kind of closed the border in WA because of COVID, and I thought, well, if we're all going to die, I may as well say my opinions into a microphone, and here we are 5 years later, not dead yet.
We're not dead yet, which is a good thing, thankfully, I suppose, Father, as Sylvester Jr. Cat once said, we're still here, and, well, we survived COVID, we're trying to survive other things. I'd like to be optimistic. Can the world survive Mr. 4547 over there?
We'll find out.
You know, sort of, well, 3 and a bit years to go. We somehow scraped through most of the first one, I mean, it's just, it tells more about the show, you know, sort of, what other things you've, you know, that you sort of hint or touch on in the show that, you know, sort of, well, draw on your observations of life and your own life experience.
So in the show, you know, particularly kind of invoking the spectre of kind of rock and roll, I do talk about my own experiences with rock and roll, joining a four-piece band at school when I was 8 years old.
Ooh.
I talk about playing bass in a punk band called the Kinky Peasants. So I talk about kind of, and there's parallels between transness and kind of rock and roll and, you know, kind of the satanic panic that kind of got thrown at it in like the 80s and, you know, government repression and censorship and, you know, parents being afraid of their kids listening to it. And yeah, there's a lot of parallels to the trans kind of existence right now that I thought, well, I may as well, you know, make that into a comedy show.
Well, yeah, and I mean, when TV came along and we saw Elvis's hips gyrate, wasn't there some sort of satanic panic in the 50s and 60s or something?
Oh, yeah.
Funny about that. There's always a satanic panic. And, you know, people are probably saying, you know, all these right-wing fundamentalist Christians are now going, what happened to that nice Elvis Presley? Funny about that, yeah.
Yeah. We all love to reappropriate the things that our parents hated.
Yep. And sort of suddenly they're nice. And what happened to those nice guys from Liverpool in the funny suits? All that sort of thing.
Well, yep.
Two of them are still here, the rhythm section.
Sorry, I forgot Ringo was alive.
Yes. He's the laid back one, but he's I'm going to digress. He always seemed to be the one who seemed a bit more grounded to some extent than some of the others.
We didn't have to do much on the albums, so, you know. Higher lifespan, I guess.
Yeah. This is as someone who tried to play drums, I'm allowed to make the old drummer joke. You know, what do you call a drummer?
I don't know.
Someone who hangs around with musicians. it's that kind of show today. So you're sort of, you know, sort of, it is quite ludicrous, all this nonsense that's coming around. And I mean, I've got to give a shout out. Oh, I'm going to give two shout outs here while I think of it. One is to Jade Starr, who is a trans musician who started out in what I call the first part of her life as a death metal musician. And so she now appears very femme and then comes on. She used to go, Satan. And so, you know, you're in that club. But the other shout out, there was another one I was going to give, and it's gone out of my head. So we'll forget about it because that's what happens. But so all this amazing rock music. And then, so what happened after the Kinky Peasants?
Well, after the Kinky Peasants, I sadly had to sell my bass, my left-handed bass, for rent money. So, and then after that, started pivoting to other things and moved around between a couple of places. It's pretty difficult to take an amp with you and had to kind of step away. So, you know, I wear my music creds with pride, but they are a little bit dusty.
Well, I have to link you up with the fabulous Cerise Howard over here, trans woman and bass player. And as far as I'm aware, although I'm not totally in the loop nowadays, I'm now the creative director of Melbourne Film Festival.
Oh, fantastic.
And a great film aficionado. She's proving today that trans and gender diverse people are, of course, multifaceted and multi-genre. What did my previous guest call it? The kaleidoscopic is a good word. So, yep, there's that. And then you've wandered your way into stand-up because of that funny thing that happened 6 years ago that we don't want to talk about now, even though we still really don't have it under control. Sort of just put... I will say for better rather than worse, I think we've put vaccines into a lot of people in this country, which is probably a good thing. Otherwise, we might not be here, as we discussed earlier. The question that's sort of on my mind is you're making your point with your story, but I think to some extent there's still the thing to a large extent that every transgender, diverse, non-binary performer is doing a form of advocacy. Do you think that?
Regrettably so. I used to a lot of the stuff I do on stage. I joke about joking. So I also used to label myself as an ambassador for trans people. And people only call me that because they don't know any other trans people. And in Melbourne, that's probably not true. In Perth, I'm the first one a lot of them have met. And I'm definitely the first one a lot of them have listened to. So we are always kind of carrying the flag in our own little way. And I'd love to not have to talk about trans things. I'd love to talk about my hatred of soup spoons, but we don't live in that world, sadly. I've still got to, kick the door in.
Yep, no, very, 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 very true. When you are a visible trans person, whether in the arts or advocacy, you sort of end up being, well, to some extent, a bit of a counselling service as well. Yeah. But on the other, let's just say been there, done that. But, the thing is that there must be some sense of heartwarming, I hope, in terms of a power of good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You do get those little moments, you'll do a set and be like, I don't know if the crowd was really into that. And then afterwards you'll get, the tiniest little, non-binary twink come up to you and be like, I really liked that. That was really good. Thank you very much. And you're like, oh, okay, I've made a difference in someone's life. And, that's really what it's all about sometimes.
Absolutely. You've either made them laugh or given them something with someone, with something with which to connect is a really good thing. One thing, we are both sitting down at the moment, as we mostly do in radio, but I know some people who will stand and do their radio shows. Because we are, positional diverse or something like that, if able. You are a very tall person when standing.
I am.
Do you bring that into your comedy, and if so, how? And also, how about, life off stage? How does that work for you?
Oh, so I do bring it up on stage. I'm 6 foot four naturally, but on stage I tend to wear a pair of 5-inch heels. Which make me 6 foot nine, and the jokes write themselves from there.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Give us a teaser. One teaser.
Oh, gosh. So being 6 foot nine, I'll get approached by sweet little old ladies in shops asking me to get things for them off the top shelf. And I'd ask them to get me things off the bottom shelf because that's socialism. That's how we're going to get anywhere.
I like it.
Yeah. They just think I'm a ladder with a personality,
There we go. Two free samples on this show out of the pan, talking about Courtney Maldo's great show that is on in the coming week, Gender, Drugs and Rock and Roll. But if it would be, I'm going to be self-indulgent because it's my show and I can. You hosted a fantastic event last week, a one-off, but I've got to ask how it went, artistic genre Smackdown.
Club Fringe Smackdown, yes. It was a truly fantastic train wreck. It was quite magnificent. They got me to host that. It was framed to me as a loosely wrestling-based game show. And I'm like, what does that mean? They're like, well, everyone gets to enter to a theme song, and it's comedians versing each other in a non-traditional medium. So we had two comics verse in circus, two verse in contemporary dance, and two verse in burlesque.
Okay, then. All right. So they had to go sort of outside their artistic comfort zone. What's that old thing? You know, sort of the three genres, acting, singing, dancing. You, most performers are good at two out of three or something like that. So
we really threw them in the deep end. But I got to get a theme song, and I was very happy with my theme song. I used Batista's theme song from WWE, which is criminally underrated. And I have decided I'd do an entrance through the crowd. I thought I'd really, really lean into it. And then show started, and there was about 10 people. And I was like, oh, I'm really going to, I've got to, you know, meander around this, you know, try and make it feel like I'm pushing through people to get to the stage.
Ah, yes, a shield-like entrance.
Exactly.
Charlie, yeah. Oscar, uniform. so the wrestling fans will get it, even if no one else will. So, Batista, I Walk Alone, a very good song indeed.
An absolute banger.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Underrated as a theme. Very much so. And are you a wrestling fan? You can out yourself on this show. It's a safe environment as per coming out day yesterday.
I think, it's quite vulnerable of me to admit, but I am a wrestling fan. I'm a fan of all wrestling. I'm pan wrestling sexual.
Good.
Yep. I mean, I think wrestling's great. It's basically high value homoeroticism. It's the ultimate expression of gender, and I think the more people realize that, the more they'll be like, wow, this is art.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, and as one of my wrestling colleagues called it, it's an absurd form of physical theater. So it's high production value homoeroticism and an absurd form of physical theater. There we go. That's not a niche. That's pretty broad.
It's pretty mainstream, isn't it?
It's pretty mainstream, but, it's a safe place. And, Q-Life is there for people who have just come out. 1-800-184-527. Seriously, it is. Really important. Now, it is important we acknowledge that. Now, I've just completely lost my place, so I'm just going to have a quick message or two and then come back with some of the messages from our listeners, and then we'll wrap up my conversation with Courtney Maldo. You're on 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
The LGBTIQA+ Multicultural Fair Day will be held in the city of Whittlesea this year. Funded by Whittlesea City Council and auspiced by Australian LGBTIQA+ Multicultural Multifaith Council, the fair will have a strong human rights, social justice focus as experienced through an intersectional lens. The event is held in a safe, supportive, inclusive space consisting of art and skills-based workshops by Street Art Doyle Blender Studio, African drumming, recycled fashion and sustainable gardening, information stalls, food and giveaways. The LGBTIQA+ Multicultural Fair Day, Saturday, November 8th, 3:30 till 7:30 PM at the Barry Road Community Activity Centre, 36 Barry Road, Thomastown. On-site parking available, entry is free and all are welcome. Whittlesea City Council is a 3CR supporter.
Disabled people are worth every bloody penny. I'm okay with spending money on the supports that we need.
There's more than 400,000 people who should be on the DSP, but are on JobSeeker instead.
I've got a life to live. I've got commitment. Like everybody else in society.
The only way to provide meaningful support is stronger grassroots movements. These institutions are never going to be our saviour.
If everyone was the same, it would be a boring old world we live in.
We need to do a lot of work in this country around shifting community attitudes towards people that don't fit the white, able, straight, cisgendered person.
3CR. Stay tuned. Stay radical.
3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. And I'll be having Maria to talk about the on the show next week to talk about the LGBTIQA plus Fair Day on the 8th of November. Messages in from Roving Reporter. Hello, Roving Reporter, who says, rest in peace to a phenomenal actress and strong ally of the rainbow communities, Diane Keaton, who has left us, sadly. Unique as a person, do I have a favourite film? Well, I must admit, I'm not a huge movie person, but Father of the Bride was a pretty good film. And by coincidence, I think it was scheduled last night on free-to-air television before she died. So I hope that wasn't something too badly serendipitous or something. A great actress and fun personality. Stylish and quirky dress sense was one of a kind too, says Roving. Sadly missed. Freedom of Species comes up at 1 o'clock. And today, well, it is really serendipitous. Freedom of Species will have a repeat of their interview with former MMA fighter and vegan Meg Edge, so and now musician. It's all very homoerotic fighting or something. Anyway, it's what we do. Very quickly, just a couple of bits of information. Fringe, the last week of Fringe, it's just been packed, and I've just been so many great guests on the show, this show alone. But what are your thoughts on the last week of Fringe as we head into it, and any recommendations coming up that you're aware of?
I don't have
to do that. But.
Sadly, a lot of the shows I was going to recommend are wrapped up in the last week or so. It's been on for the past 2 weeks or so, based out of the Trades Hall, but all throughout the city. There's been so many things. It's getting bigger every year. I think it's been an absolute blast. You get people come out, they get to see the more quirky side of Melbourne, if it's even possible to be, quirkier than Melbourne.
We'll dig for new levels of quirk. It's what we do.
Oh, yeah.
And I forgot one event coming up this week down at, someone has to promote it, Alpha Pro Wrestling, Thursday Night Fights at Thomastown the 16th of October, coinciding with someone's birthday celebration. I wonder who that could be. if you can come down to Thomastown and celebrate this with me and find out why this is a face for radio, that would be fun. It's been a huge Fringe. I mean, I've just been loving every artist I chat to, and a couple I have gone to see. I went to see Marnie Mills on Tuesday. That was a great show, her first ever show. It's just great that there are so many great shows. And from the point of view of this particular radio program, queer including trans artists, I think it's phenomenal and uplifting at this time. Yeah. Yep, and we have a laugh at it.
That's what you want.
What? Well, let's just make sure we've got this once again. Where on earth and when, where, when, who, what, how do people see your show, Courtney Maldo, which is Gender, Drugs and Rock and Roll?
So Gender, Drugs and Rock and Roll is the 15th to the 19th of October. That is this upcoming Wednesday through to Sunday, 9:30 p.m. at the Music Room in Trades Hall. Sunday is 8:30 because I'm not sure, but they've done that earlier. And if you can't see it this week, I'll be back for Melbourne International Comedy Festival in April, and I'll probably be doing it there as well.
All right, then. So lots of artsy stuff around. Well, I'd better get out of here and make way for Freedom of Species. Thanks to my guests today, Charlie Wen and Courtney Maldo. And guess what song I've picked to take us out today?
Oh, I don't know. It could be anything. I'm very excited.
Well, it might be one that you have already mentioned. Telepathy Rules. Here is Ian Dury, Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. Thanks for tuning into Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. It's very good indeed. Keep your silly ways or throw them out the window. The wisdom of your ways. I've been
Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll is very good indeed. Every bit of clothing ought to make you pretty. You can cut the clothing, grey is such a pity. I should wear the clothing of Mr. Walter Mitty. See my tailor, he's called Simon. I know it's going to fit. You're quite welcome, it is free. Don't do nothing that is cut price. You know what they'll make you be. They will try their tricky device, trap you with the ordinary. Get your teeth into a small slice, the cake of liberty. And drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll.